You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to get action with Action Station Aotearoa, the segment where we chat with the people campaigning for a fairer future.
Over this week, we've seen the most promising developments yet towards a de-escalation in Palestine, with international dialogue leading to a ceasefire, exchanges of hostages, and plans to establish a new governing body in Gaza. Yet, the long-term trauma created by conflict often perpetuates instability, creating a circle of violence and escalation. With no plan materializing yet for ending Israeli occupation of the West Bank, nor for pursuing justice for the crimes committed in this conflict, huge questions hang over the future of Palestine and Israel. For this week's Get Action, I speak to the Chair of Public Issues for the Association of Psychotherapists, Rick Willimont, on his open letter from the mental health professionals calling on the New Zealand government to act on Palestine.
What motivated you to focus on this issue?
I'm a citizen deeply concerned about the genocide that unfolded in Gaza particularly, but also with the treatment of Palestine by Israel and by the US and by European countries, Canada, and the New Zealand government complicity in basically turning a blind eye to profound human suffering, which is morally repugnant and enraged. Yeah, I feel enraged by that. So that's basically what motivated me as a mental health professional dealing with people who have experienced trauma on all sorts of levels in their life. And I've been doing that work for decades. So I have this understanding that comes from my work of the profound ongoing impact of war. And I don't really believe that what we've been witnessing is a war. Anyway, to call it a war for convenience, the mental health effect on Palestinians is profound and will be profound for generations to come. So I feel very strongly about that. I wanted to offer a means for my colleagues in the mental health profession to have a voice and to use our understanding of trauma and the impact of trauma across generations to appeal to our leaders' conscience and compassion and to ask for a much stronger stance against Israel. That's kind of the heart of it. There's some secondary motivations there as well. There's also a moral injury that we all suffer, as I see it, from being witness to profound injustice and also to our leaders being so passive and enabling. And in our name, you know, a speech is given at the United Nations, which basically justifies taking this passive, complicit position. And we are watching on our phones the decimation of a people, live stream genocide, bombing of hospitals, murder of aid workers, murder of journalists, starvation is a tool of war, weaponization of food. It's repugnant and we're forced to watch it and watch the world order do nothing, even though the International Criminal Court has declared that war crimes have been committed, that crimes against humanity have been committed, and then more recently, you know, Amnesty International has come out and a number of other Medicines Sans Frontières and Israeli human rights groups as well. And now these 600 genocide scholars have said this is a genocide. So there's moral injury. That's my point to all of us. So it's very important that we don't just sit and accept gross injustice. This is a profound injustice and it's preventable. And the world order is saying, we'll accept it. It's disgusting.
Right. So it's both the concern for the long-term impacts of the conflict and genocide on Palestinians, but also the complicity and how that impacts people here.
Yeah. That's right. And I want to weave in here, there's a very real issue for people living in Israel. They have been living with fear and they have been attacked by Hamas. You know, there were 800 civilians in that attack on October and hundreds of people have died, been murdered at the hands of Hamas. They're not innocent and there is real fear and real trauma in Israel as well. And so I don't want to say Hamas is blameless. They're not. But the gross injustice, you have a very powerful military force, highly sophisticated, funded by the US and others, and what they have done in the name of combating terrorism is kill tens of thousands of children and women and elderly, and it's disgusting. The mental health effects are obviously where I focus.
As the conflict changes and moves, there's been, you know, hostages and captives released, almost 2,000 Palestinian prisoners from Israel and the last remaining people taken on October 7th, both released. As the conflict moves and potentially cools down, what would you like to see going forward?
It seems so important that Palestinians are supported to have autonomy over their own land and that they're supported to rebuild their lives. It's so easy for me to say that. I mean, it's a monumental task. Their homes are in rubble. Their beloved family are murdered and maimed. It's just profound trauma that will reverberate through Palestine and actually reverberates in the heart of every compassionate person. So it's a tremendous lesson to us all about what's important, and it's a shocking moment for all of us too. The moral injury is profound. What faith that we had in institutions like the UN are just shaken by this. They've spoken out and been completely toothless. So I don't have any simple answers to that. I hope that Aotearoa moves away from it, pushed to the right, certainly with the current crowd. How do we rebuild compassionate societies out of the mess that we have? You know, the threats on all levels are so obvious to anyone that's paying attention in terms of ecological destruction, not limited to climate change, but very much including the imminent threat of that and biodiversity loss and the geopolitical mess. It's threats on every level. And I worry for future generations, wherever on the globe, definitely in Aotearoa, where more isolated, less populated, it's relatively politically stable. We have tremendous privilege here. The threats are enormous, so I think about those things constantly, and those of us that are aware of these things need to come together and be concerned together, and we need to grieve together, and we need to strategize together. We need to form alliances together, and I know all of that's already happening. We need to do a lot more of that, and my profession needs to be part of that. Like, we are skilled in tending to traumatic injury. We're skilled at processing emotion. We're skilled in managing conflict. My profession needs to step up out of the rabbit hole of individual complexity and start thinking more systemically and working more systemically. These issues are very, very important to me. Understanding of dysfunction, of the impact of trauma, and hopefully we've done enough in terms of our own awareness of colonization that we can offer support to people, because we're entering troubled times. We're in troubled times, that's for sure.
That was Rick Willimont, Chair of Public Issues for the Association of Psychotherapists, on the open letter from mental health professionals calling on the government to act on Palestine. You can sign this open letter by going to our.actionstation.org.nz/petitions/openlettermentalhealthforpalestine. We'll include a link on the podcast recording of this show on the 95BFM website.
That was Get Action with Action Station Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.